step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey, yo, Fro Wrestling Podcast listeners, welcome to the show where we don't sing it, we bring it. Help us out, click subscribe, show your support, and if you are on YouTube, make sure you enable notifications by clicking the bell. Are you sick and tired of dropping $60 to $100 for the latest and greatest wrestling video game every single year? Stop immediately. Go to Wrestler Unstoppable, available exclusively through Facebook. Create a wrestler, sign contracts, get involved in storylines, headline pay-per-views, even build your own corporation. All included in Wrestler Unstoppable, available now to all Facebook users totally free. Hey, if you want to become a member of the Fro Wrestling Podcast family, you want your name on the shout-outs like Mike and Lansdale, then check out our Patreon page at patreon.com/Fro Wrestling Podcast. Sign up today. We got loyalty rewards. Any $15 a month contributor gets to co-host an episode of one of our live shows with me, and our $7.50 a month contributors entered into a drawing to do so as well. Hello, everybody, and welcome to this live episode of the Fro Wrestling Podcast. We'll take questions, comments, anything you want to touch on through whatever chat feature you stream this show through. Click the messages into the chat box, and I will get to those as we go through the show. If you have a question for a future episode, use the Fro Wrestling Sound Off line, 267-642-1160. It's either talk to text or straight text messaging service. Send us your questions, things you want us to talk about. Tell us who you are so we can give you a shout out in the show for contributing to the evening's pleasantries, and we'll go from there. If you are new to the Fro Wrestling Podcast, you've never listened in, never tuned in before, don't forget to head over to our homepage at frowrestling.com where you can preview all the topics coming to the show, check out our sponsors. Most importantly, if you want to support independent wrestling, there is a tab on frowrestling.com for indie events where you can click and find a show coming to an area near you. It's also a great place to pick up on my editorial pieces in Fro's Quarter, my blog located at frowrestling.com. Check that out today. So, a lot to talk about this week. It has been a good week in the wrestling world. AEW announcing their big television deal. It's official TNT Wednesday nights, 8 o'clock p.m. to 10 o'clock p.m. Not going head-to-head with Raw or SmackDown. However, the big conversation is now that AEW has officially announced their time slot, they can't exactly back out at this point. And now the word is WWE is negotiating to possibly put NXT head-to-head with AEW on a Fox Sports network. So at first, the shots being fired by AEW at Double or Nothing, at their different press conferences, throwing some shade at WWE, which was a bad idea to begin with. Had you formulated a company, sat there, did your thing, and killed it in the wrestling ring, like the best wrestling on the planet, you probably would not have drawn the ire of someone like Vince McMahon. The problem is, you've made things very personal. And what has not helped matters any for AEW, for all you diehard AEW fans out there, I'm one of them. I love the AEW product. However, when you throw out messages about how they're taking over and they're going to conquer WWE and all this stuff, Vince McMahon takes that as a challenge, and let's be honest, the number one best wrestling action in WWE is NXT. We all pretty much universally agree with that. Not that they've got the best talent pool, but they put on the best show. That being said, if you're going to put something up against AEW, it's got to be better than Raw and SmackDown, and that is NXT. So now, you got a promotion like AEW, the wrestlers that are on the marquee for AEW are much more similar in their appearance to the wrestlers on NXT. You're not going to see anybody jacked up like Brock Lesnar in AEW right now. They look a lot more like the NXT roster, so it's a direct comparison. And with WWE's network and company exposure, people are more familiar with a lot of the NXT brand, especially with the success of the TakeOver events and the way they've cross-branded and promoted. Even companies like Evolve are going to be gaining popularity with WWE focusing on them on their own network. So this announcement is huge. I'm very happy for AEW. I hope they come out and they kill it. And I really do hope at some point they put out the kind of wrestling that makes WWE creative come to their senses and start putting some really great stuff out there for us to watch. The concern I have, though, is that with all the banter that's taken place already between AEW talent, EVPs and all that kind of stuff, and WWE, that you've kind of woken the sleeping giant. You know, if this was the Monday Night Wars all over again, AEW would already be in trouble because Vince is crazy. That old man is going to do whatever he has to do to preserve his brand, and he didn't think you were big competition until you started blowing things up. Now, I'm thrilled because I want to see the best wrestling action I can, and if AEW pressing WWE fosters creativity, not just on NXT, but also on Raw and SmackDown, then absolutely go for it. But I'm not convinced that AEW has the firepower to keep pace. Now, you know, we talked previously about Paul Heyman and Eric Bischoff taking control of SmackDown and of Raw. Paul Heyman significantly more influential on the creative side of things, whereas Eric Bischoff this week apparently was much more laid back, did some of the conversations, both of them, about merchandising and things of that nature, but we haven't seen Eric Bischoff really get overly involved in the creative process. Not sure if he's going to at some point. I would hope so, to try to inject some life into that brand. But when you have WWE making these big moves, it tells me they know they've got to increase viewership, and with AEW coming, they're going to start putting all hands on deck. And that's why we're seeing things like the Undertaker Goldberg. We didn't need to see that match. I understand now that Goldberg has heat from WWE. They're mad at him because of him taking that stiff charge into the ring post that pretty much destroyed the whole match, and now there's some heat. They're not even on speaking terms right now. A lot of people thought that he was going to wrestle Dolph Ziggler at SummerSlam. There was rumors floating around all week about that. That is not the case, at least according to the Wrestling Observer newsletter. They are not planning that. They're not even talking to each other, and we know from Goldberg's comments after the show that he really wanted to get back in the ring and give one back to the fans because he felt like he kind of ripped them off a little bit because of his performance, but we'll have to wait and see how that turns out. Either way, glad to see AEW's announcement. Little, actually kind of excited for what it means for WWE bringing us more NXT exposure. But we definitely have to keep an eye on that rivalry and see what other tricks WWE pulls out of the hat, including a dream match that's in the works for SummerSlam. Apparently it's confirmed Trish Stratus is going to come out of retirement to face Charlotte Flair in a one-time dream match between the two. And here's the deal, you know, Trish Stratus isn't going to stay young forever. Already showing signs of getting to the twilight of her any potential career. If she's going to have any of these dream matches, they need to be now. You know, the one with Charlotte Flair should be incredible. I think the two could really tear it down, especially if she comes in the kind of shape she did at the Women's Royal Rumble and at Evolution. However, what I fear is they may rush some of these just because of, you know, like we were saying earlier, the AEW influence, trying to give people some really special things to watch. There's word that there's going to be an all-women's SmackDown and Raw episodes to counter the men going over to Saudi Arabia and performing on November 1st. That show is now official. The return to the Saudi Arabian government's agreement is going to be November 1st. That's what it was supposed to be originally, and then they shifted it around, canceled a bunch of dates in Europe, and now it's going to be back on November 1st. And that since the women don't go to those shows, that they'll have the opportunity to really showcase their talent on SmackDown. I would say that would be a great place to have the Bayley versus Trish Stratus match that has been teased only earlier today on Twitter. Bayley wants to face Trish Stratus. She wants to have that opportunity to wrestle a legend in the ring, a Hall of Famer. I would love to see that match as well. So we'll have to see how that pans out. But at least for now, it looks like it's Charlotte Flair versus Trish Stratus at SummerSlam. After Raw, a lot of people were talking about how they really weren't happy that the Click came out, or DX, or DX in the NWO, or whatever you want to call that insane group that came out on Raw, and how they just totally obliterated AJ Styles and the Good Brothers, the OCs, OGs, whatever you want to call them. I get it. I understand that. AJ Styles, Gallows, Anderson, you really needed to be pushing them. And I understand Ricochet was supposed to be there, and that didn't happen. He was injured at bum elbow or whatever, so Seth Rollins got slid into that spot. But Seth Rollins versus AJ Styles is a marquee match. That's not something you just give away for free and then schmoz the whole thing up with the Raw reunion. If that would, if you weren't going to be able to showcase Ricochet, who is your intended target to push and promote, go with somebody else who really needs the rub. Seth Rollins doesn't need it. He really doesn't. Or have Ricochet be there and not participate in the match. You could have had all the legends clear the ring and Ricochet didn't have to do anything. And he still could have gotten the rub from DX. But in the end, he wasn't the only one. There were several people at that Raw reunion who weren't cleared to wrestle. I know the Pat Patterson skit was kind of hokey. He wasn't cleared to get physical beyond those weak stomps he did. You know, you take those old guys and put them out there, you can't do a lot. You know, WWE's very cognizant of brain trauma and things of that nature. So they're very careful with who they're willing to push. That's why you didn't see Ted DiBiase get pinned for the 24/7 title in the limousine. That's why Gerald Briscoe got his win the way he did. You know, they did things to make it entertaining, which I thought they really were fantastic. The 24/7 title on Raw was great. Bray Wyatt and Mick Foley pretty much stole the show, which is really awesome. I just wish the rest of the show was booked like that, where you really promoted some new up-and-coming guys instead of burying all the new guys for the old guys. But the Click clearly was not happy. They actually were on the Xbox podcast, Sean Waltman's podcast, talking about how they weren't happy with how things went down. They didn't want to bury talent. And I love to hear that they felt that way. It's a stark contrast to what they did when they were running the wrestling business. But going forward, hopefully WWE gets the point and starts using these special appearances to really get people over who they are seeing on television every single week. That's how you build stars. And if you want to have people, what are you going to do 25 years from now? If you don't build anybody now, who's coming back to your Raw reunion then? Because these guys, most of them will be gone. So you got to have somebody else to come in. And if you don't start building some real lifetime talents, it's not going to happen. So negotiations between Access Television and Impact. There was rumor earlier in the week that negotiations completely fell through, that there was a deal in place, that Anthem made an overture to purchase Access Television, which was rejected. And then there was conversation that their deal was completely off. Now they're saying it may be revived just a little bit, have a little bit of a pulse. Look, let's be honest. Impact Wrestling is putting on some of the best shows in the history of their company, and they have no television home that works. There's no exposure. Pursuit Channel is not getting it done. And in the meantime, diehard wrestling fans like you and I, we're not getting the opportunity to see the shows that we really want to see. And let's face it, I get AEW and all the fandom there, but Impact Wrestling has been doing what AEW is trying to do for years. They just don't have the exposure. You know, it's been a good 2-year run now where Impact Wrestling has been putting on some really entertaining angles, some creative and innovative storylines and characters and wrestlers, high impact matches, and we're not seeing a lot of it because it's on horrible, horrible programming. So hopefully something comes to fruition getting them a new TV home, because what they're doing right now is just simply not working. And I saw they made the announcement that they increased their relationship with Twitch. That's great. That's not going to solve your problem. You can't run a wrestling company purely on Twitch. You need to have a TV time slot, and hopefully Access Television comes to their senses, as does Impact Wrestling, and they work something out. A group that is not working anything out, National Wrestling Alliance and Ring of Honor, they have split and ceased operations with one another. They had all sorts of plans for Nick Aldis and the NWA champion, Ring of Honor, coming up with one of their big shows. That is apparently off. Billy Corgan wants to focus his energies on building a NWA television weekly program later this year. But right now, that's not something that's ready to go. And Ring of Honor, for whatever reason, didn't see the value in maintaining that relationship. Ring of Honor has actually been doing really well lately too. I love the angle with the Gorillas of Destiny and the Briscoe brothers. A lot of people thought that there was like a severing of the relationship with Ring of Honor and New Japan until we got to see the Briscoes come out. They win the Ring of Honor Tag Championship last week, and then you have the Gorillas of Destiny come out and lay them out the next night. Like, so it's obviously the feud's not over. They have a rubber match coming up, and it should be a really exciting opportunity to see those two teams get in the ring. They really beat the tar out of each other every time they're in the ring. I can't wait to see that again. But as far as the NWA and Ring of Honor, it's kind of a shame we're not going to see certain matches, like another Marty Scurll Nick Aldis match would have been incredible, or even somebody like PCO taking on Nick Aldis, or any, a host of talents in Ring of Honor. I would have liked to have seen Matt Taven and Nick Aldis in a champion versus champion match. Not going to happen now. So kind of a shame. I hope NWA finds a way to get themselves back to more prominence, but they are up against some stiff competition from all over the place. I hope people noticed on Raw on Monday night that Hulk Hogan, when he came out, and then Steve Austin came out, one of the lines Austin stated was about how he and Hogan sat down, had a few beers, and did a podcast. That should be hitting this Tuesday, where you get to hear Hulk Hogan and Steve Austin sit down for the first time. And there's been so much conversation about the two of them. I'm actually looking forward to this just because I want to hear Steve Austin and Hogan talk about what resulted in Steve Austin being dismissed from WCW back in 1992-93 time frame, which led to him going to ECW and eventually the WWE, because rumor has swirled for years that there was a plan that Austin had presented about teaming with Hogan and in some way being aligned with Hogan, and that got shot down because he wasn't a main event player, and then he goes to WWE and becomes the megastar that he became. And I'm curious to see if they get into that, and if Hulk Hogan, how he responds to that, and to see how these two get along. It'll be a very, very cool listen. Hopefully y'all can check that out Tuesday as it comes out. A company we won't be seeing any more from is Wrestle Circus. They've put on some really good shows in the past. Shut down for a little while, came back into operation, but they this week announced they are ceasing operations, closing, going out of business. The owner of the company tried to revive the brand, but it just wasn't the right time. And so instead, he's going to get out of the wrestling business. He doesn't want to promote shows anymore. And it's really a shame. For those who listen to the podcast, you know I'm a huge advocate for independent wrestling, but unfortunately right now, not working out for Wrestle Circus. Jimmy Uso, the news of the weekend was he got arrested again for DUI, which is so poetic, with John Cena trash talking about him and his mugshot on Monday Night Raw, and then a few days later you get busted again for DUI, being unruly, not cooperating with a police officer, his mugshot was online again, he looked absolutely drunk out of his mind, and it's a shame. You know, and what is WWE doing? Like, I'm going to be honest with you. When their wellness policy came out years ago, I remember people like Rey Mysterio, Randy Orton, people were getting suspended 30 days, 60 days, 90 days. Some people getting let go for a long period of time over PEDs and things like that. But what, alcohol is just okay? You know, Jeff Hardy got busted. No real punishment. This is the second time in like 6 months that you're seeing Jimmy Uso get in trouble. Haven't heard anything about any kind of punishment for him. WWE keeps sending out like the carbon copy response. Oh, you know, these guys are responsible for their own actions. Well, that's great. You're their employer. You know, you're a publicly traded company and they are a figurehead for your corporation. You need to do something to change that behavior. And if they can't handle it, you take away their push. Right now, the Usos are in a pretty good position. Had a great showing on Raw. Rikishi was great to see back. But you know what? If you're going to do something stupid like that, bury them. Absolutely. Have them lose to Hawkins and Ryder. Have them lose to the Ascension. That's how you punt it. Put them in there with the Ascension. Put them in there with, Heavy Machinery. Just have them lose to everybody. And let them sit on the bench for a while. You know, it's not like they're drawing in so much money that you can't possibly live without them. Bury him for a while. Have him lose to the Good Brothers or something. You know, it's ridiculous. It's just my opinion. AEW in the news again this week, talking about Stephen Amell, the Arrow star, is getting ready to wrap up filming of his series. What is he going to do afterwards? And they made it very clear they're very much interested, if the timing is right and if the opportunity is right, to bring him in and do something with him really cool with All Elite Wrestling. AEW also talked about CM Punk all week. You know, CM Punk early in the week was duking it out with fans on Twitter about whether or not he's coming back. Then he came out and made a statement saying that he was offered an AEW contract over text message, but never had a face-to-face sit-down. Cody came out and refuted that, saying they did have someone from AEW had a face-to-face, is what he says, but that he was the one who was texting, that they're willing to have him come in, they would love to have him. But Cody made the waves this week saying that he wouldn't be surprised to see CM Punk go back to WWE. I think that is a really, really long shot. I mean, can't even imagine how much money they would have to pay to make that happen. I think Punk is done. I don't know why. I've been hanging on hoping that he would come back at some point and do something interesting. But let's be honest. The guy's just a unique dude, and he doesn't seem to care to come back. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying he couldn't do it. I'm not saying he doesn't want to entertain people. I'm saying he's made his money. He's accomplished everything I think he needs to accomplish in the wrestling business. And he's just not interested. He doesn't want to do it anymore. So you know what? Fans need to just get off it. Let it go. CM Punk left you. Okay? I understand why he left when he initially left, but that didn't mean he had to leave the whole industry. He chose to. And you know what's so poetic about it? And I'm not trying to dump on Punk here, but the reason he's able to leave the WWE and not go to an Impact Wrestling or a Ring of Honor or a New Japan or a startup like AEW or Lucha Underground, you know why he doesn't have to go to any of those? Because for all he likes to complain about WWE, he got paid a ton, an absolute Brinks truck full of money in the time he was there as WWE champion. And you know what that made it? It made it so he doesn't have to work another day the rest of his life if he doesn't choose to. And so now, when you got these fans who scream and chant and want CM Punk so bad, the only reason you don't have CM Punk has nothing to do with WWE. It has to do with CM Punk. He doesn't want to do it anymore. And we keep begging him to come back. Why? If you're not passionate about it, don't waste my time. I want to see people want to go out there and put on a show. And now, it does not seem like he's feeling that way anymore. I want to talk about the legend sounding off on Lacey Evans this week, the back and forth, constant low balls between Lacey Evans and Medusa, which was so shocking to me. And in the same week that we hear Trish Stratus is coming for SummerSlam, I couldn't care less as much about that as I would love to see this match take place. Medusa come out of retirement to take on Lacey Evans, because let's be honest, what is Lacey Evans going to do now? She's been beaten repeatedly by Becky Lynch. She has no momentum whatsoever. You put her in there with someone like Medusa who she can defeat, and then it builds her character. Or even if she loses, it gives her a rub with Medusa. I think it'd be a great idea. But the back and forth with them, it got so personal, attacking Lacey Evans' former military service and her attacking the monster car truck racing with Medusa and all of this stuff. It's like, oh my God, absolutely terrible. But it made for interesting Twitter. So hopefully WWE can quell some of that. And I would love to see them channel that frustration into an actual match. I would like to see that at SummerSlam. We'll have to wait and see if that turns out to be a possibility. WWE, there was news yesterday that they're going to announce several segments for Raw that are coming on Monday. They always give like a teaser about what's coming Monday, but they don't get so specific. And I think this is part of Paul Heyman's influence. Tell people what they can expect so they can plan to be there. You know, if I look at WWE right now, I say, listen, they've been booking crap for so long. I don't know if I want to tune into Raw. But wait a minute, if you tell me there's something exciting to watch, and then there's a second exciting thing to watch, and there's a third exciting thing you're going to announce way ahead of time. If you do one per hour, you've given me a reason to tune in for a 3-hour show. And I think that's what Paul Heyman's shooting for here. Give us an idea of what we're doing. Three different things we're doing on Monday, very specific, that are exciting and different. And you get people to tune in and watch. And hopefully they just deliver on what they're doing. The Undertaker, what is his role at SummerSlam? Well, apparently there isn't one. And apparently there never was a plan for one. He may come back for the Saudi Arabia show because they pay out the yin-yang for that. But it doesn't look like he's coming back for SummerSlam. At this point in his career, it's like his appearances are going to be more and more and more sporadic. But they have to mean something. And the SummerSlam match with Drew McIntyre was rumored for a very long time. Apparently not going to happen. But apparently wasn't in the plans at all at any point. Maybe we'll see that further down the line. Maybe a Survivor Series, maybe Crown Jewel 2 or whatever they call the next one. We'll have to wait and see, but definitely not in the plans for SummerSlam, at least at this point. Triple H overseas this week in Japan, talking to Stardom and Dragon Gate. You talk to Stardom, you're talking about really bolstering the women's roster, but Dragon Gate I find even more interesting. One, because one of the premier Dragon Gate champions right now is Neville, who goes back to being Pac and hates WWE, and then you're over there talking to them about potentially bringing a brand to Japan. And I'm on board for that. I would curious if WWE would be interested in purchasing Stardom and Dragon Gate and using that as the way to start their farm system over there. But it is exciting that Triple H is willing to negotiate with very well-established and very reputable companies overseas. Should be some really exciting stuff. For those who are paying attention, Rhino officially returned to Impact Wrestling this week. Went in, had his little bit with Michael Elgin. Should make for a good match, good feud. It's nice to see him back in the ring and being active and not doing dumb stuff with, you know, tag team wrestling and just never getting into the ring. Don't get me wrong, I'm all about, you know, him winning the tag team championship and having one last WWE run, but I really would like to see Rhino at least be a mid-carder at some point in his WWE tenure, and really, he hasn't been. Heath Slater's great, but that he really has not been anything but a sidekick for years, and now maybe we'll get to see him in more of a substantial match. Sean Waltman announcing on his podcast he is finished with in-ring competition, not going to be wrestling anymore, he can't take it, the body can't take it, but he would love to come back for maybe a WrestleMania moment, or most importantly, and the one that I hope they find a way to put together at some point, an appearance at an NXT TakeOver event. I think that would probably be booked something like the one that did Jushin Thunder Liger when he came over to NXT TakeOver and took on Tyler Breeze. The match was incredible. It's the one and only time we got to see Liger in a WWE ring. And for, you know, Sean Waltman, X-Pac 6, whatever you want to call him, 1-2-3 Kid, him getting an opportunity to perform at an NXT TakeOver would be pretty cool and a once-in-a-lifetime thing. And that would be a great way for him to send off to give him a proper send-off from the ring. And I think WWE, with all the ambassadorship he's been doing for them lately, I think it would be a good way to send him off. If it was WrestleMania, I'd be okay with that too. But I think the NXT TakeOver thing is so different and unique and something he never did before. I think that would be a really cool way to send him out. Maria Kanellis missed 205 Live this week, partially because she was in the hospital. She's pregnant and is having some complications. Apparently, this baby's going to be killer to her system. We wish her a quick well-being and get better and get back into action as soon as possible. You know, obviously can't wrestle, but her vignettes with Mike Bennett are starting to become comical to me. I think the angle is terrible, but at least they're doing something with them. They're getting TV time, something they didn't get for the better part of a year. Scott Steiner in the news this week, trashing the WWE Hall of Fame, saying he would never accept an induction because, you know, I'm not going to use his words because it's a PG show, but he talking about how it's BS, that there is no Hall of Fame. It's all in Vince's head, you know, and that's exactly right. With all the money WWE makes, there is absolutely not one shred of reason they don't have a physical location yet. You've got a physical location. If you go to ProWrestling.com, there is a link in the middle of the page for the Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame down in Texas. There's another one by a different outfit in Iowa. There's one in Indiana. I mean, there's Wrestling Hall of Fames all over the country, and none of them would be nearly as big as one that WWE could put together, yet they haven't done it. And look, I get it. They don't want to lose money on something that doesn't bring in enough viewers or visitors. I think they could do it. I mean, if these other small places are putting it together and making it work, WWE could as well. And unfortunately, all the merchandise, memorabilia, nostalgic stuff, crazy stuff that WWE could contribute to a real Hall of Fame just sits in boxes and behind locked doors because they haven't done that. And so I get what Scott Steiner's saying. If I were him, because of the fans and the people who cheered for him, especially when he was with the Steiner Brothers. I was not as huge a fan of the Big Papa Pump character, but I loved the Steiner Brothers growing up. I thought they were one of the greatest tag teams in the history of the business. First team to beat the Road Warriors that I was like, they legitimately beat the Road Warriors. You know what I mean? I would love to see him in the Hall of Fame, and I would love to see him respect the Hall of Fame, but I get where he's coming from too. Like, what are you inducting me into? Vince's head? I don't want to be there. You know? So he's got some validity to what he's complaining about. Let's just hope WWE someday fixes that. wanted to give you guys an update on the G1 Climax. Right now, I have a little bit of issue with this, and I started to touch on this last episode. It feels like WWE got their new toys, being Jon Moxley and Kenta, and they want to ride them to the finals, because that seems to be what they do lately. They get a new toy, they play with it until they get done with it, and then they throw it in the back of the box and move on. That's what happened to Jay White. That happened to Tanahashi earlier this year. Made him champion, took the belt off him, gave it to Jay White, took it off him, and then they go back to their stalwarts, the Kazuchika Okadas and stuff like that. Well, in this situation, Kenta and Jon Moxley were being built through the moon. Now, Jon Moxley still undefeated. Kenta has finally lost his first match to Kazuchika Okada. Now, this tells me one of two things. Either we're going to see Kenta and Okada coming up in October-November time frame when they have their next big series prior to Wrestle Kingdom season. And then what I believe they may do with the G1 Climax is have it come down to Moxley and Okada, which would be interesting. You have your United States champion and your IWGP heavyweight champion duke it out. The problem I have is G1 is a great way to build a new superstar. And you have people who've really paid their dues in New Japan who deserve that push and that rub, but they're not getting it. And the reason they're not getting it is because somebody like Jon Moxley and Kazuchika Okada are taking those spots. What they needed to do, if you want to build a Moxley, fine. He's a hot commodity, major international superstar, WWE exposure. I get all that. But what you needed to do is build somebody else. You could have built a Lance Archer or somebody like that, or go with an old-time guy who's never had an IWGP championship run. Tomohiro Ishii, go put him out there. Let him win the Climax. Let him face Okada for the title. If I were them, I would give him the championship just once. If you're going to put it on Tanahashi for a month and Jay White for 2 months, why can't you put it on Ishii, who's been there for you? He's been your never openweight champion for forever and a day, multiple time champion. Give him the real deal. Give him the real belt. He's deserving of that. He's earned that. Instead, we're probably going to see Jon Moxley and Okada in the finals, which is a match that could have been built differently. If you wanted to do that, have Moxley win the G1 Climax against another established star that you create, and then have him face Okada, and don't even have Okada in the tournament. Having Okada in the tournament is kind of stupid. What if he wins the tournament? Who does he challenge? Does he get to pick a different champion to challenge and have two belts? Like, it just doesn't seem like it makes a lot of sense. And finally tonight, the possible reason for why Finn Balor has requested time off. He is officially engaged, and they announced that on Twitter. It's adorable, the two of them. I'm happy for them, so congratulations to Finn Balor. Hopefully he won't be gone too long. He should be wrestling Bray Wyatt at SummerSlam, and then he'll take some time off, go get married, have fun, and then come back recharged and ready to go. But congratulations to he and his fiance, and we wish them nothing but happiness. That's all the time we have for this episode. Check back with us next episode. We'll run down all the latest wrestling news and rumors. Special thanks, as always, goes out to bensound.com and purpleplanet.com. They produce any of the music and sound effects we use in our shows. Today's podcast, sponsored in part by Beazle Games, bring a new friend to family game night with sketchy people. Showcase your artistic side in this new game by going to frowrestling.com and clicking the icon in the middle of the screen to pick up your copy today. And to alleyrepair.com, contact Alley Repair today for servicing of all your classic skee-ball, pinball, and arcade game needs. If you're looking for your next career move, you're considering college, university life, or you just need some formal training for your next career decision, go to our sister website at frolifeplanning.com for all your higher education needs, as Fro Life Educational Planning is for today, for tomorrow, and for life with Fro Life. I'm Fred Froelich, better known as Mr. Fro. I want to thank you for taking a few moments with us tonight. If you're looking for more wrestling news and rumors, go to www.tsj101sports.com for their latest articles on the world of professional wrestling, or go to my blog, In Fro's Corner, on frowrestling.com. Check out my articles there. Make sure you support indie wrestling. Click on the tab at the top of the page and go to a show in your area. Get that one-to-one experience, that up-close and personal experience you can only get at an indie wrestling show. Until next time, take care, everybody. Have a great night.